from Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, from the Message. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it, Jesus says. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. If you have listened to me long enough, you know, since I've been preaching sermons here, you know that I absolutely adore my father, my father, who this December will be 14 years that he passed away. And there was so much to love about my dad. I mean, he was just an easygoing guy. He was just kind of simple. wasn't too complicated. I often wonder if my dad was still living, how he would handle the whole cell phone thing. I'm just amused by even considering that collision of forces. He was a guy who loved to laugh. My dad had a hysterical sounding laugh, and there are times that when I'm watching a show or something, and I'll let out a laugh. It's my dad's laugh. I have this high pitch, you know, yelp, and then this just shake when I laugh. He was just a hysterical sounding laugher. He loved baseball. He would listen to baseball on the radio and just loved the game of baseball. And my dad was a super duper hard worker. For several years, when he lived in Buffalo, when he moved to Buffalo, he worked at a bakery. And he boasts that in, you know, 16, 17 years working at this bakery, he only missed like 1 or 2 days of work. And those days that he missed was to go to a funeral for one of his siblings. Never missed work. He was just such a hard worker. And then not only that, if you've heard me talk about my dad, you know, he was a master mechanic. And so he always smelled like gasoline or oil because he was always working. He had these overalls that he would wear that he could hardly fit, but he'd get into them and he'd go work on people's cars for hours. He loved to get the snowblower out and not only, you know, clean out our yard, but like everyone else's yard and the entire street. That's just the type of guy my dad was. And one of the memories that I recall of my dad was after he left the bakery, he went to work at a flour mill in Buffalo. Buffalo has several grain and flour mills. You know, General Mills, the cereal, is there in Buffalo. But he worked at a flour mill, and I remember my dad coming home from work in his work clothes, you know, just covered in flour. And then I remember him coming home and saying hi to everybody, and the way that our house was situated, you know, you walk in the door, and his bedroom was right off of the door there, and from our kitchen you could kind of see right into their room, and if I'm looking straight into the room, I remember seeing this brown leather like lounge chair, like Barker lounger type chair, and I just recall my dad just plopping down in that chair and putting his feet up and resting. My dad was a hard worker, very much so, but he also he knew how to rest, and he took those opportunities, even if it was just for a moment or two, to know that he had just had a busy day at work, that it was going to be good for his soul, his spirit, and good for the family, that he just kind of detaches for a moment, sit down in a chair, and rest. And then I find it eerie that you know, in 2003, when I got the call that my father had passed away, I think I've told the story before, but it was a snowstorm. It was December 14th. It was my brother-in-law's birthday, my sister's husband, and my brother-in-law was coming over to the house to get the snowblower out to you know, clean our yard out, because my dad wasn't in a health condition where he could do that. And he loved doing that, but he knew he couldn't do that. But my brother-in-law called my father and said, "Hey, don't worry about it, Mr. Frazier. I'm going to come over there and I'm going to clean out your yard." But my dad wanted to be the helper. He goes out into the garage where the snowblower is in the garage, chained up, because we lived in the hood. So he goes out, he unchains the snowblower, and he starts it up, gets it ready for my brother-in-law. My mother got a little worried because he was gone for a while, and she walks up into the garage, and she said, "There was my dad laying down right next to the snowblower as if he was taking a nap. He had laid down and passed away." I find that, you know, again, kind of eerie that my dad passed away serving in a resting position. There my dad entered what we would call his eternal rest. Now, I've thought a lot about my dad this week, and it resonates with our journey regarding a Sabbath. Sabbath is a part of a sacred rhythm that God established. Last week, we talked about trying to walk in step with our Creator. This is our attempt to be holy as the Lord is holy. He worked for 6 days creating the world, but on the seventh day, he rested. Thus, he commanded his people to rest on the seventh day and to implement within their lives a rhythm of rest. And this should communicate to us that our bodies and our minds and our souls, our spirits, were not created to be perpetually on the go. There are times that we need to just stop, quit, take a break. I had lunch with a good friend last week, and as we spoke about his schedule and his life, at one point I had to look him in the eye and say, "Bruh, your body is telling you need to take a break." How many times do you just have conversations on the regular when you see someone you haven't seen in a while? "Hey man, how you doing?" "Man, I'm doing good, man. What's going on with you?" "Hey man, I'm staying busy." That's such the typical response. Yesterday I connected with some folks at camp. "Hey man, Colin, how you doing, man?" "Oh man, I'm good, man. Staying busy. I'm working 60 hours a week." That is our lives. We're just so busy, on the go all the time. Our bodies have not been created to do that. We have to stop. That's what Sabbath means. Sabbath means stop, take a break. Again, it's not my intention to try to establish Saturday as the Sabbath day. No. But Sabbath language is something that we need to reclaim as people of God. We need to implement rest in our lives. And so we continue our exploration of Sabbath. I want us to consider one of the most beautiful invitations that God has offered to his people. It is an offer to enjoy and delight and to be covered in the blessing called rest. Many Jewish commentators interpret the rest that God entered on the seventh day as a period of peace and tranquility, where he was delighting in what he had just created. Parents, I want you to think for a moment that small period after childbirth, particularly for mothers. Mothers, you labored and you push and it was painful, and it was this experience of intense times and moments. And then the baby is born, and everyone's around, and it's, you know, it's busy, and you're clapping, you're crying, you're doing all that. But then there's that moment when you first get to be alone with your child, and you hold that precious creation. That is a sacred moment, and you mothers, you probably can explain this much better than I can. I mean, I had moments alone with my children when they were born, but mothers, there's something about you holding that child that you have been carrying for so long. And when no one else is in the room and it's just quiet and it's just you two and you're just having that moment. That's what you need to think in terms of when God rested on the seventh day. It wasn't he fell asleep and took a nap. It was no, he kind of just beheld what he had just created. And it was peace and it was tranquil. And that's the imagery that I want you to capture. You see, that's rest. And that is the rest that God has offered as an invitation to his people. I have offered that we are extremely busy people. And I would also add that we are increasingly troubled and disturbed people. We are troubled by what we see in the world. We see war and we see chaos and we see unrest and we see violence and we see all types of things. And we're just disturbed and we're troubled by that. We're troubled by the demands of our jobs. We're so tired that we work so many hours and it seems like we're not getting anything done and our bosses are breathing down our necks to get more done, or they're blaming us for things that's not our fault. Oh, we are troubled by family strife. You see, divorce is still on the rise and the heroin epidemic is ripping up families. We have strife. We are troubled with our day-to-day activities and responsibilities. And just like neglecting to rest from work, we are neglecting to find rest from our troubles and our disturbances. Long ago, when a troubled Moses, the Lord's servant who would lead Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, when Moses encountered the Lord, he had this experience where he and the Lord got alone with each other and he was in the Lord's presence. The Lord gave Moses a promise of his presence and something else. In Exodus chapter 33, verse number 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, leave these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." I see Moses as one who's kind of irritated. He's disturbed. He's nervous. Something's just not right. Like, God, you've given me this huge responsibility to do this. Like, when are you going to let me know how this is going to be done? These are your people. Don't leave them hanging. And this is how the Lord responds. The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you," say it with me, church, "rest, peace, and tranquility." Rest here is being peaceful, being tranquil. The 23rd Psalm. Most of us either know this psalm by heart or at least know something about it. It is a psalm that boasts about the presence of God and the peace and tranquility that accompanies the presence of God. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows, and surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Peace and tranquility. The collection of Psalms are filled with boasts of God's assurances of his presence and the rest that is birthed from the encounter with God. Psalm 16, verses number 8. "I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Peace and tranquility. Psalm 62 and verse number 5. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Peace and tranquility. Psalm 116, verse number 5. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unwary. When I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. Here's a psalmist that boasts about the chaos in their life, and the presence of God helps to restore that soul to rest, peace, and tranquility. For people of faith, resting is part of our collective vernacular, particularly for those who die in the Lord. John, the Revelator, wrote this in Revelation 14, verse number 13. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labor, for their deeds will follow them. Peace and tranquility. The reality to be lived in heaven is a life of rest. And for some reason, on this side of heaven, we struggle to claim God's gift of rest for his people. Why? Because even when we have done a lot of things and accomplished a lot of things and participated in a lot of activities, and we've done the housework and we've done our day job and we've done our night job, we still feel like there is more to do. Even after we've earned a lot of money, we want to earn more money. Even after we've worked 60 hours, we feel like we need to work 5 more. Even after doing our best to serve humanity through ministry, we feel like there is more to do, and it won't get done unless we do it. As many of you know, the word no is a word that is often hard to say. We are overridden with guilt if we say no. It's just not our way. But there are times, church, that in order to enjoy God's peace and tranquility, we have to say a no to some things and yes to God's invitation to take a break, to rest, to enjoy peace and tranquility. Church, this is why Sabbath is important. It's a reclamation of a promise that God gave to rest easy, to enjoy and live in peace and tranquility. While we choose to introduce into our lives chaos and more things and more activities and more work, God is saying, would you please come away with me? Come away with me so I can show you how to take a real rest. Sadly, church, many won't experience rest on this earth, and they look forward to death because they know that in death they'll get their rest. So sometimes people are just so exasperated, just so fed up, they're just like, I'm just ready to go. Because they've never enjoyed rest. That's not God's desire for us. His desire for us is to live and to enjoy life. And while we're enjoying life, we've got to experience rest right now while we live, while we're on this earth. It's sort of an appetizer here on earth for that which is to come. Remember when Jesus said, when you pray, pray this way, our Father who in heaven, you know, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is wanting us to enjoy heaven blessings here on earth. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Years ago, the group a cappella produced a song that I believe captures the idea of God wanting to lead us to rest. And you know, it's a song that I love. I mean, this is early 90s, probably the song came out. And it was just this week that I like actually listened to the verses of the song and felt like it just captures the essence of where we are as a people. That, man, we have introduced so much busyness and chaos in our lives. And until we accept God's invitation to experience rest, man, we're just going to be carried away. We're just not going to see things. We're just not going to enjoy things. And we're going to live unfulfilled lives because we didn't accept God's invitation to rest. So listen to this song, and I pray that it hits you the way that it hit me when I listened to it again.
I was hurting all alone. I was searching for a comfort I could find on my own, with no direction, feeling down. My life was headed for disaster till you turned me around.
Lead me to rest.
You know, during the spring or leading up to the spring, we had a series called Enough. And I feel like both Sabbath and Enough are two topics that harmonize with each other, because the reason why we are so busy is because we sometimes feel like we don't have enough stuff, or we haven't done enough. And sometimes taking a real break, taking a real rest, experiencing real Sabbath, is first coming to an understanding that we are enough and that we have enough. And you can go a million directions with that. Wayne Muller, who I'm going to read a quote from, I was listening to a talk that he gave, and Wayne said, you know, There comes a time when we desire to love as many people as we can, but sometimes this is difficult to do. Like it's hard for me to love passionately 100 people. Does that make sense, church? Like, it takes all my energy, and it's good to love my wife and my daughters. And then after that, man, I don't have a lot left. But still, because we're godly people and we want to do the right thing, man, we try to spread that and we wear ourselves thin. And so guess what? I may not be able to love people as passionately as I need, or be there as much as I, but I can be present in other ways. You know what? I hate the fact that right now there are people who are starving, and world hunger is something that will probably always be with us. And I sometimes struggle thinking that I'm a failure because I can't cure world hunger. I'll never be able to cure world hunger, but I'll be able to give a meal to somebody every once in a while. That's enough. And we have to be comfortable with being enough for the moment. And so Wayne Muller writes this quote, and I think that it's applicable to what we're saying. He said, when we breathe, we do not stop inhaling because we have taken in all the oxygen we will ever need. But because we have all the oxygen we need for this breath, then we exhale, release carbon dioxide, and make room for more oxygen. Sabbath, like the breath, allows us to imagine we have done enough work for the day. Do not be anxious about tomorrow, Jesus said again and again. Let the work of this day be sufficient. Instead of being ruled and led by our work, let's be ruled and led by the Lord, who says, I want to give you rest. Do your work. Work hard when you're working. But when the work is done, take a break. Because I just think far too many Christians are dying early deaths because they just work too much. And you've not accepted God's invitation for rest. So from my journey here, the things that I have created in my life to make me a busy monster, lead me to rest, sweet Lord. Lead me to rest. My invitation, the Lord's invitation to you, is to enjoy peace and tranquility, in rhythm with the God of the heavens, who on the seventh day stopped working, and delighted in what had been created. And I'm saying that God has given us all the invitation to delight in Him and to delight in the creation. Delight in our family time. Delight in these moments that we often take for granted. But we've got to turn the cell phones off. We've got to close the laptop. We've got to turn off the TV. We've got to rest. So church, this week, we started off with find 2 hours during the week for yourself. Last week, 4 hours, okay? How many people found 4 hours last week to just one person? Very good. Very good, Bill Reed. Someone came to me before the sermon and said, okay, I want you to prepare me. How many hours are you gonna ask for this week? All right, y'all, get ready. 6 hours. This week, I want you to find 6 hours for you to delight in and do what you like. Do something fun, do something restful. But I would even encourage disconnect, like just turn the cell phone off or go somewhere and just leave the cell phone and just do something for you. You know, 6 hours. If it's a 4 hour nap and a 2 hour game of solitaire with cards, don't play it on a computer. Like get some real cards and play solitaire, which most people don't know how to do. 6 hours. And then next week, we're going for the gauntlet. 8 hours. I want you to spend 8 hours for yourself. Church, we've got to reclaim Sabbath in our lives so that we can recover our lives. We will be better workers. We'll be better servants. We'll be better parents. We'll be better children. We'll be better neighbors in our communities when we recover our lives through rest. Amen? Let's pray. God, thank you for the gift of rest. God, help us, lead us to rest. Lead us to a place where we can enjoy peace and tranquility. God, it shouldn't be that your people are as anxious and worried and fearful as the rest of the world. If we're going to boast that we have a real relationship with you, it ought to be displayed in the way that we live our lives and we see the world and see time and value work and value rest. God, help us to recover our lives through rest and through play and through delight. God, there are opportunities among us to enjoy rest and play. God, I'm praying that you would give us the courage to say yes to that. No to more work, no to more stuff, no to more activity, no to more chaos, but yes to rest and more play. God, we love you and we thank you for rest. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. As I shared earlier during the announcements, Wednesday nights, that's a great time. You got to fill your 6 hours for the week. Come here for 2 hours and just come play. Just come play pickleball. Come get smoked by Gene Scheibner and Bob Swackhammer in pickleball. Like, it's pretty sickening how they be whooping on these young folks with this pickleball game. But come get whooped in pickleball and that's it's rest because it's play. It's delight. It's having fun. Come in fellowship with folks. Come meet new people. Learn new games. Play. Just come and rest. As we sing this invitation song, if there is something that the church can do for you by way of prayer or ministry or service, if you're ready to take a step out on faith and to live in this rest that God is offering you, if you want to join with God in His way and His will, you want to participate in the ministry of baptism, we can provide that for you as well. Let's stand. Let's reprise this song.